President Trump and I know that the men and women that put on the uniform of law enforcement are the best of us. Every day, when they walk out that door, they consider our lives more important than their own.
You know, I have a lot of police agency friends, military friends, and you know, they do not all support President Trump, but I will tell you that they do appreciate the statements of support, the funding, the encouragement, the, you know, the place where they know they're appreciated, right? Just like locally, they appreciate that as well. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He's a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I won't ask you to get involved in talking partisan politics, but can I generically say it must be nice to hear public officials praise law enforcement, especially in the current environment?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we've heard in the past the opposite, where the support wasn't there. And if you don't have the support from the very, very top, you know, it starts to trickle down, and it does bother us. And it is something that we all pay attention to.
Absolutely. So you guys are actually involved in a couple. Well, I guess we'll get to that in a second. I should ask you first. Anything happen overnight, last day or two, that we need to know about?
No, sir. All quiet in the city of Pensacola.
You did have a kind of an odd story, maybe more than one, that kind of show how police work takes place. You had the DUI arrest, right, related to the monument vandalization. Explain the story, because I was not clear about it at first. What happened here?
Well, what happened was Mr. McDade, that was wanted for the vandalism at the Confederate Memorial, has been on the run since the warrant was issued by our department. And night before last, early in the morning, he was involved in a crash that is possibly a DUI-related crash. The Florida Highway Patrol worked that scene, and they discovered that that we did have a warrant for his arrest, and he was taken into custody.
How does that work? Because to me, that shows good police work. That's just, you know, this is it's a warrant. It's a relatively low-level offense, but still all warrants are warrants. But, you know, you're actively pursuing some maybe more than others for obvious reasons. But here he winds up involved in a crash. They run the name. They find out he's got a warrant out, and he gets arrested. But how does this actually work when somebody has a warrant against them? How would they know that's happened if that does take place?
Well, the officers, again, like you said, it's in the system. It's in the computer system. There's two. There's one local, and there's another one that's national. Felony warrants will end up being in the national computer, and then departments decide whoever captures that person. The local department decides if they want to extradite or not. But in this case, everything was local, and he was charged accordingly.
Very good. The other one that I wanted to ask you about had to do with a shooting case that goes back to, I think it's April, actually. It's a, you know, relatively an aged case. But this was the case of Jesse Boone Jacobs, who has now been accused of, a shooting involving a Glock. And I don't know why the fact that the Glock had a laser pointer on it makes a bit of difference one way or the other. But okay, it's part of the story. How did this story play out, and why is he now, what's the status of him now?
Well, evidence was recovered from the scene, and namely rounds that entered or hit the building, hit the home, and also that was from the body of the victim, his leg. And ballistics takes time. You know, we always say that these investigations take longer than we want and longer than the public wants, and this is why. This ballistics took time, but once it came back, we were able to discover that, or to prove that the rounds came from one particular weapon.
And so over that period of several months, eventually you find out that it matched with that weapon, and that's why you're able to make the charge, make the connection between them. But it's just not like, you know what we should do someday? I know we've done it periodically with certain things, but we should do a top 10 things that TV gets wrong about cop work. I know.
Oh, yeah. There would be a top 100.
Yeah, and the go get me the ballistics. Here you go, sir. No, not quite like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that police do, you guys are involved in a couple of kind of national multi-agency pushes right now, or even state-level multi-agency pushes right now. One of them is the Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign, right?
Yeah, there's that. That's all going on now. There's always Click It and Ticket. That's also going on. We're just encouraging people to do the right thing, buckle up, and please don't drink and drive, because bad things happen after that. And you can ask Mr. McDade. That's what got him caught, you know, that we were talking about earlier. So please don't drink and drive. It's a very dangerous and selfish thing to do.
And there's also a See Something, Say Something campaign that's active going on right now, right?
Yeah, and that's about terrorism. And if people think that terrorism can't start locally, they're wrong. If they, you know, if they see anything that's abnormal, and you know, we got a call yesterday about a backpack being left at a certain location, and somebody dropped it and just left, and things like that. And you know, people see and they call us. That's what happened yesterday. Unfortunately, nothing came of it. But that's what we want people to do. If they see something suspicious, don't just be afraid to call because you feel silly if it turns out to be nothing. You could be saving someone's life.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very different mindset whenever you go over to Europe. You know, I worked in England for about 6 months, and I remember it's, you know, if you're on the subway and there's a package, there's not a person, you get away and you tell somebody. I mean, it's a very different kind of mindset. And look, most packages are just packages, but, you know, look at the Olympic bombing. You know, there are real cases where either lives were saved or lives were not saved because people did not act on things that they kind of were suspicious about. You know, obviously, you and I talk a lot about current events, and, you know, I never would ask you to comment on particular cases because, you know, I understand that it's not really your purview to do it. But obviously, you're familiar with the Jacob Blake shooting that took place up in Wisconsin, and that has now become kind of a second hallmark or touchstone for a lot of the protests. And I know you've seen the video. If you care to comment on this or talk at all about kind of that scenario, anything you want to say that you feel comfortable saying, feel free to go ahead.
Well, I won't comment on that particular case. I don't know all the facts to that case. But what I can tell you is that after incidents such as that happened, and we've seen it many times before, the first thing, the public outcry is that the police need better training. They need to be trained here. They need to be trained there. And one thing that I can tell you that we are all already trained in and have been for many, many years is that if someone complies with your request to stop, that we are trained not to do anything. We are trained to conduct that field interview or maybe put handcuffs on the person for an arrest, but we're trained not to do anything. And if you comply, nobody gets hurt. And that's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this all the time when I see these videos or these incidents, and I think, man, if the person involved here had just done what they were supposed to do, you know, and just complied, it's hard to see a bad outcome coming. Now, I mean, I know that George Floyd might be a difference from that, but even there, you know, there was a preamble to that that we're still not exactly sure what happened. So it's a, you know, these are the questions that you ask after the fact. Last thing I want to ask you about, Mike, is when these incidents happen, it's very common for a public outcry based on one video or one perception of an incident. And sometimes that perception turns out to be right, and many times it does not. But of course, you guys, as you say, you go through this process, this investigation, you compare evidence. You guys devote your whole lives to that process. How frustrating, if at all, is it to see that people form their opinions in a second based on a news report when the reality often very much contradicts that when you do the proper investigation?
It's extremely frustrating, Andrew. I can't tell you how many times that I've been involved in investigations and things that look like or situations like this to where we want to come straight out immediately and tell the public what really happened, but we can't do that. We may compromise the investigation, and it's our job to make sure the investigation is put together thoroughly and correctly in order to for a successful prosecution. But that happens a lot, and that's one of the reasons why we try to stay out in front of news stories and go to the media, the reputable media, with these stories so they can get the real information out that we have at the time so that rumors don't start spreading on social media and throughout the community that are completely off base.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate the work you do. I know sometimes it's in an adverse environment. A lot of times it's an adverse environment. But we try to give you as much support as we possibly can. Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, thanks so much for the time. And as always, thanks for what you do.
Thank you, Andrew.